At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Where it's 5:05, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronchi, Randy Carrick, great to have you with us. We've got Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. Send in your text to the Ryan Kelly text line at 65780. Before we get to Teoli, Juju Smith-Schuster was fined $27,000 for his hit on Vontaze Burfict a couple of weeks ago, but he was supposed to get some help with the fine from Antonio Brown, the guy he set the block for. He said, when reporters asked him about the money this week, he said, Antonio still owes me for that fine. I got to get that. He still owes me. I'll try to get him today. Brown recently signed a 5-year deal for $70 million, and Smith-Schuster makes $500,000. So Brown should absolutely cover that fine.
It sounds like they've covered this, right? Yeah. Like he's going to do him a solid right there. I feel like NFL fines are absurd. Like the amount of money is crazy. I just know like some Major League Baseball fines, because maybe one time I got a fine for throwing around someone's head. And the fine
around
was way, I didn't hit it. Fine was
like the
way
moon.
Cheaper. It was like $1,000 opposed to 27,000. And some of them are like 50 for the second infraction. They're nuts. And Juju Smith-Schuster does not need to be spending that type of cash.
It's pretty crazy when you think about it.
Block.
Because you're playing 162 days. Well, not pitchers aren't, but these guys only play 16 times a year. That's a lot of a game check, especially for him.
Real quick, guys, we did have Clark Spencer. We said that he said Mag Sierra was a piece. Well, this is per Clark Spencer, and it's been retweeted. But the full trade, at least what it sounds like right now, Cardinals get Marcelo Zuna. Marlins get Sandy Alcantara, Mag Sierra, right-handed pitcher Zach Gallen, and left-handed pitcher Daniel Castano is what they're reporting here currently.
Okay.
So
I can handle that. I guess
I can handle
the Mag Sierra. I was very interested to see like what his future was like here, but you got a really good outfielder for the next 2 years. I loved his speed when we saw him when he came up. It was just a life that we hadn't seen in a long time with this Cardinals team. But overall, I still am totally fine with this deal.
You know, it'd be nice if you can pick up somebody like Marcelo Zuna and give up nothing, but that's just not how it works.
Yeah, it is.
You got to give up something.
So, friend of the show, John Gerke, who was able to score a date with Jeannie Bouchard, the pro tennis player, last year during the Super Bowl, was spotted on Miami Beach with her. They're out. She's wearing a bikini, looking great. He's wearing a swimsuit, looking great. They're on TMZ. Take it or leave it, every hot tennis player needs to stay off Twitter during the Super Bowl this year.
I'm going to leave it. She seems like she's in love.
She's got a relationship out of it.
And I would say anybody, shoot or shoot at this point. So just send out random bets to supermodels and golfers and tennis players and whatever, because it worked out for this young man.
But here's the thing you don't want to do is slide into DMs.
No.
Don't do that. Because when you do, that's when they screenshot it and then tweet it out. And then you look like a...
Yeah, you can get burned on that one.
How about this, though? How cool is this for this guy?
Yeah, it's great.
Mizzou student?
Like, who would have thought? Like, out of nowhere. Even when initially you heard about it, even when she had the back and forth, there was no way he thought this was going to happen, right? Like even the initial date. And then all of a sudden, they seem like they're dating.
They're an item.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. All right, the Cardinals have been rumored with a lot of players. Obviously, Manny Machado was a player that a lot of teams are kicking the tires for. We've talked about Josh Donaldson. Take it or leave it, the next deal that happens for the Cardinals will be somebody on the Rays.
Take it.
I'm going to take it, too.
Of all the teams?
Yeah, out of everything. All the free agents, out of anything. Oh, like the next move.
Yeah, I'm going to take that too. I think they'll. I think they want to go the trade route. It kind of seems like they want to. Colomé might be their best option right now, and they clearly want to continue to upgrade the bullpen. So it seems like the most likely situation at this point.
I'm going to miss Juan Nicasio. That was a great month.
Wonder how
we knew him better than the Phillies did.
Yeah,
I'd like to know if what sort of courting the Cardinals did there. What you know, how much they explored it.
I don't know. They were one of the two finalists, apparently.
Oh man. Only coming in second. They
always
did
surprise
not,
me.
They picked up Marcell Ozuna, which is a great deal. Take it or leave it, guys. And for me, I know how I feel. Take it or leave it, you feel just as satisfied now as if they were to have acquired Stanton for a lot more in return, because you know they were going to have to trade.
Yep, I'm going to take it.
No, I'm going to leave it. I'm not near as satisfied. I wanted that marquee player for the next 10 years. He'd probably be a marquee player for the next 5 years, but
that's why I'm going to take it.
But I'm nowhere near as satisfied. Yeah. It's not my money.
No, but I just think that the Cardinals aren't in a position, and I wanted it because, heck, you never know when you're going to be taken from this earth, right? You never know when that number is going to be called. And for me, it's probably sooner than you guys. You're 40,
with that
you're 35.
Attitude, you never know, man.
So here's the thing. I really shouldn't care about the back 5 years of that contract, but, man, that would be really tough, even with exploding revenues, for the Cardinals to handle that $32 million a year over the last 5 years.
Yeah, but think about, that's where the deals are going. Machado is going to make that more than that. Harper's going to make more than that. The next guy, when he comes up, will make more than that. At some point, that's going to look like a drop in the bucket, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how good he's going to be. That's my problem, is for that money. That guy's not going to be a productive player for you.
It only matters if it's crippling them and preventing them from doing other things at that time, which I don't think would be the case. I still would rather have Giancarlo Stanton, but I am perfectly fine with Marcell Ozuna.
Big Sims, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it, the starting first baseman and third baseman on opening day are not currently on the Cardinals roster.
I'm going to leave that.
I'll leave it.
Harp is going to be here.
I think so, too.
I agree.
He's going to be one of those two.
Take it or leave it, the Schwartzless Blues are in a world of trouble.
I'm
going to leave it. They're still better than a lot of teams.
And it's not the playoffs yet. If it were the beginning of the playoffs, I would be really worried.
Got a trade proposal for you guys.
Oh, good.
If the Rays wanted Flaherty, Kelly, Waka, and Ranji for Longoria, Colomé, and Archer, you would do it.
Flaherty?
What was it? Flaherty, Kelly, Waka,
leave
and
it.
Ranji.
Take it. That's right.
I'm going to leave it.
I got to go to Tampa, though.
Yeah,
I love Tampa.
Do I have? It's too moist there.
That's a good thing.
Sure is.
It's too hot and moist.
I like humidity.
I hate it, especially if you have to wear pants.
No, you don't like moistness and pants don't mix.
No,
think
not
that
good
right now.
Not good. I have full no trade. I'm gonna reject the deal.
You, in fact, do not.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. I think I have partial
call
no
your
trade.
Agent.
My concern is Carson
my
Kelly.
My agent or my agent?
I think I said agent.
I don't have an agent.
I don't know what you do and do not have.
Take it or leave it, two more deals are coming tonight for the Cardinals.
Two?
Leave it. More.
Yeah, I'll leave it. That's too many deals.
And take it or leave it, in the next 20 years, a Major League Baseball player will make $500 million.
In the next 20 years?
20 years.
Oh, take it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a lock.
Take.
Yeah.
Might happen next year.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Ryan Kelly text line, 65780. Next up in the fast lane, Marcell Ozuna is a Cardinal. So what does this mean for Stephen Piscotty and Randy Grichuk? That's next on 101 ESPN. It's the Cardinal skipper, Mike Matheny, at the winter meetings in Orlando today, talking about the composition of the outfield. And at that point, he couldn't talk about Marcell Ozuna. The Cardinals still have not officially announced the acquisition of Ozuna, pending a physical. But word is from Clark Spencer of the Miami Herald that the Cardinals will send Sandy Alcantara, Magnurius Sierra, and Zach Gallen, along with a left-hander. Zach Gallen is a minor league right-hander, their number 13 prospect, and a left-hander, Daniel Castano, to Miami. So those are their numbers 6, 9, and 13 prospects. Castano not rated in their top 30. But the composition of the outfield, it's interesting because you had a Gold Glover in left field in Ozuna last year. So do you, and it sounds like this is what the Cardinals are going to do, you put Pham in center and Fowler in right. Are you comfortable with Dexter Fowler as your right fielder?
I think I am. And really, the more I think about it, Randy, because you and I were kicking around this around in the office earlier, it kind of makes more sense if you're just going to move. If you're going to move a guy, just move one guy instead of moving two guys, because you're already going to displace Dexter Fowler out of center field. Just put him over in right. Instead of just moving him to left and Ozuna has to learn right field, forget it. Just move one of them. You're good to go. And I think that you look at that outfield right there, and Ozuna doesn't have like crazy range, but he is at the very worst, and I know he was a Gold Glover, but just looking at defensive metrics and the way he rolls runs out there, he's not crazy, but he's got a little bit more. He's gonna be better than Matt Adams in left field. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
with all due respect. No, he's going to be good out there. They're gonna cover a lot of ground. I feel very comfortable with that from left to right.
I'd have a little concern with Dexter Fowler in right in terms of his arm, but it's not enough for me to not start him there, and I'm in agreement with you on this. The fewer players you can move around and have them try to get comfortable with different positions or positions they haven't played very often, the better you are. And I'm more than comfortable with them working it that way. You have Ozuna play left, have Dexter Fowler play right. And from all accounts, Fowler is good with playing in a corner, mm-hmm. even though he signed here to be a center fielder. That just isn't the best position for him or the team anymore.
We've kind of figured that either Grichuk or Piscotty or Martinez would be involved in this deal. None of them have been to this point, although there are reports out of the Bay Area that Piscotty is headed to the A's, and that would be as much for him as it would be for Oakland. So you've got Grichuk and you've got Martinez. Who is your fourth outfielder? Do you have or is Martinez your fifth outfielder? Do you keep both of those guys?
Or Harrison Bader? Mm-hmm. Potentially, because Harrison Bader could play all positions very well. He proved that he could hit at the big league level also. So I would almost lean towards him being my guy.
And by the way, guys, I don't believe if they make a trade with Tampa. Tampa's sitting there with Corey Dickerson, who was in the All-Star game. They've got Kevin Kiermaier, who's one of the best center fielders in all of baseball. And then they've got Steven Souza, who's one of the best prospects in all of baseball in right. They're in pretty good shape. Now, they can always DH Dickerson and get an outfielder, but in terms of the way their outfield is constituted right now, if they're going to make a trade with Colome and Longoria, I don't know if they need outfielders back from the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're probably looking at pitching. And and that's the thing, too. That's where I get a little bit of concern, because the Cardinals, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of the rotation after having signed Michaelis already. You don't know what Waka's going to be. We don't really know about Adam Wainwright either, coming off the injury. And it doesn't sound, I mean, well, if they're going to pick up Chris Archer, then that would satisfy that particular need. But it sort of sounds like the Cubs are going to wind up with him. But I don't know how they handle things if they have to trade Weaver and Flaherty, which I doubt both of them go, but if you lose one of them, then you're really getting into a sort of an issue with that rotation, where you may not have the innings to fill, or you do, but you're just using so many different pitchers throughout the year. I think they prefer not to do that. So I don't know where they go from here.
At this point, unless you're getting some sort of a starter in return, I don't think I can deal Weaver, because they need him right now.
Right.
Flaherty is, he's got a lot of upside, but Flaherty to me is not big league ready. Like, as far as you plug him in the rotation right away and then you say you're good to go. To me, they need to keep Weaver unless something else comes. So Weaver to me can't be a part of a deal for a closer. I don't think.
I agree.
I don't see that working for the
Cardinals.
Unless
they're going to fill that gap somehow.
Yeah, and you're going to fill it with upside too, which is tough. I don't want to fill a Weaver gap with somebody on a proven deal.
I wonder if Randall Grichuk is capable of being a bench player.
Because it'd be tough.
If these guys are healthy, they're going to play 135, 140 games each. So is Randall Grichuk a guy that you can bring off the bench and expect to be productive? Or can you expect him to be productive not playing every day?
Well, Randall would provide off the bench is a like legitimate power threat. Like that is real. You make a mistake to him in a big spot and he can hurt you. We've seen it over and over again. Unfortunately, the thing that we've seen over and over again is Randall Grichuk go in prolonged slumps. And it's very, very hard to get out of a prolonged slump when you're not hitting all the time, when you're not getting constant ABs. When you, and mentally, and that's the one of the hardest things to do, and you talk to anybody that's ever done that job, and Randall's talked about it when he's gone through his struggles at the big league levels, how in the minor leagues he could mentally just kind of take a break and just hit. There is no break when you're that pinch hitter. Like when you're that guy and you've struggled and you've gone 0 for your last week of pinch hittings, all you do is just keep thinking about that more and more. I think that would be a very, very difficult job for Randall Grichuk, who's still a young hitter. Like there's so much upside there. He's so he's got so many raw tools, but I don't see that being the best job for him.
It'd be great if all ball players were just plug and play kind of guys. If they were robots where you could just, you know, here's your your pace for 25, 30 plus home runs a season, you're just going to do that. However, you're going to be on that pace, but you're doing this off the bench. Most players can't do that. I think it's actually a really difficult job to do, is get 4 or 5 at bats a week, maybe 6 if you're lucky, and then expect to be good.
And especially, that's one of the reasons that I was so surprised by Jose Martinez last year, because he was so good off the bench. And especially as a young player, that's hard to, a player that hasn't done it before. He's not a young player.
But he's proven he's a professional hitter.
He is.
Yeah, he's more of a, I mean, he led the PCL in hitting a couple of years back, and he had just never gotten that opportunity. I think that Jose Martinez plenty of times in his career had been surpassed by players just because of where they were on the rankings or the prospect ranks, or they were on the 40-man. Mm-hmm. And he deserved it. That wasn't shocking to see him hit at the big league level.
One other note, and this is in regards to Longoria, who is clearly on the Cardinals' radar and becomes a 5-10 guy 2 days into the season. I believe that Stanton's no-trade contract has changed no-trade contracts for everybody. And now when a guy approaches 5-10, like Longoria, who will be able to veto any trade, that's going to change the way teams do business, because teams do not want to be backed into a corner like the Marlins were with Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, nobody wants it. I think the teams that it's going to affect is bad teams. Bad organizations aren't going to give those out anymore. The Marlins had no business giving out a no-trade to a guy like Stanton when they knew they couldn't back it up, right? They couldn't have him. But the Rays find themselves in a similar position where they don't want to be stuck with that type of cash. They're not. They win more baseball games. I mean, they haven't won the World Series, obviously, that the Marlins have, but they're a more competitive franchise year in and year out, but they do it at a very low cost.
Right.
It gets to the point right now where you have $90 million left on Longoria and you are stuck with that and you've gotten the best years out of him already. Do you have a chance to move on from him? Why wouldn't you?
That's why it's a bad thing for teams like the Marlins or for Tampa.
Two teams, by the way, which if you are going to trade their franchise players, what the Marlins have already done, and if you are going to do that with the Rays, who's going to notice?
Right.
Nobody's going to those games.
Exactly. But if you're the Cardinals and, you know, Manny Machado is available to you and you offer $350 million in a 10-year contract and the only thing preventing the deal from happening is he wants a full no trade and you're not willing to give it to him, if you're the Cardinals, I think you do it, right? Because you want that player. Don't you worry about the rest of it later? If you desperately want that dude on your team, and that's the thing holding it up, I don't think you'll let it not make the deal happen. I think you have to go for it.
I think Brad's qualifier is where I didn't say, but it's true. Bad organizations.
Right. Yes,
because
that's important.
Organizations that are revenue challenged are the ones.
Yeah, you just can't do it.
You can be held hostage. The Cardinals they have enough money and they're going to be a good enough organization that they aren't going to be able to be. They're going to want to trade that guy. They're going to want to compete with that guy.
Yeah, the one that with the Cardinals, they've given out the no-trade clauses before. I'm wondering when the Cardinals start giving out the opt-out. And Mo talked about it. He's like, very, very rarely does a player opt out after a bad year, right? Like, that is very player-friendly. But some deals might need that, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of seems like where some of these deals are headed, and the Cardinals haven't gone there yet.
One quick note here from Drew Silva, who is a writer for NBC Sports.
I love this.
He's
is
a
it the prospect
guy.
One?
Yeah. Giancarlo Stanton and Marcelo Zuna didn't net a single Baseball America top 100 prospect for Derek Jeter and
company. Really good. I mean, not fantastic. For them so much.
No. But the Marlins are trying to rebuild. They want to make this into something.
They're getting they're getting quantity. With all due respect, the return that they're getting from the Cardinals is way more than they've gotten out of other teams. Sandy Alcantara is a good player. So the two guys this year that I do remember saying to myself, like, wow, Alcantara is one of them. Like, with the fastball, he's like, geez, that looks like so easy. And the other one is Mag Sierra, just watching him run, watching him hit a ground ball to the pitcher and damn near beating it out. Like, those are two wow players that are leaving the organization.
But imagine trading away two of the most productive National League hitters in 2017, and the best prospect you get back is Sandy Alcantara.
Wow.
That's not good. As much as we like Alcantara and think he could turn into something really nice, that is a...
We do appreciate your texts to the Ryan Kelly text line, 65780. And with your questions for us, here's Big Sizz.
If no other moves are made for the Cardinals this offseason, are they currently a playoff team?
Maybe. They're in the hunt. They're in the hunt.
It's not a definitive yes.
They don't have a closer.
That is for sure. That's a problem. And honestly, I still have my worries about their rotation.
Agreed.
So, I think their lineup is good enough. I really do. Even though I want one more piece, I think their lineup is good enough to be a playoff team. But I do believe they need to solidify their pitching. Some things would have to fall their way still currently for them to be a playoff team this year.
Got
to
worry about innings coming up this year. That's the main thing for me. I still really want them to address that. In fact, I don't think they only have to pick one or the other. But if they did, I'd be picking the rotation to address over the bullpen.
Kind of along the similar lines, but if the Cardinals add Machado, how does that stack them up against the Cubs, team for team?
The Cardinal lineup would be the equivalent of Chicago's if they would add Machado. The Cardinal bullpen would be better as we speak right now, and the Cardinal rotation would lag behind simply because I like Lester and Hendricks better than I like Carlos Martinez and any number two that the Cardinals have.
Yeah, I think I do too, but that would be one hell of a battle.
Yeah, it would.
That would be, like, if you asked that same question a minute ago with Machado, the answer is yes, they're a playoff team, somehow, somewhere.
Yeah.
If the Cardinals can't get Colome, would you explore bringing in an innings eater like Lance Lynn and using Waka as a closer?
Cardinals have interest in Wade Davis, too. No, I would not want to try to use Waka as a closer. We were told last year that the Cardinals have real concerns about his ability to bounce back after a day. In fact, they had concerns about him bouncing back after four days.
Yes.
Because he has to put so much work into preparing for each start. So, no, he's not going to be in the bullpen.
Yeah, it's easy. We talked about this last year. It's very easy to see his stuff playing at the back end of the bullpen, whether it be eighth inning, ninth inning. He's got two dominating pitches. He's got a breaking ball that he'll sprinkle in. But that fastball changeup would play late in the game. But, yes, when you have shoulder issues that he's having, finally this year, the Cardinals did a good job of, you know, making sure they built in some rest for him. But Michael Waka did a great job of figuring out what he needed and what worked for him, what routine that he had to have, and he kept himself healthy. I wouldn't mess with that at this point. And really, you need Michael Waka in this rotation this year.
The report came out today that after Goodell's new contract, it will be his final. Who would you possibly see stepping in and taking over as commissioner after he leaves?
I think Tim Leiweke, the CEO of the league, native St. Louis, and he was hired actually during the process before the Rams left St. Louis, and a lot of people thought that he was hired as the heir apparent to Goodell. So he'll have experience in the league office. He's still relatively young. I would think Tim Leiweke would have a really good chance.
Adam Silver.
They tried that one.
They did try that one, didn't they?
What about why is his name escaping me? He's on Mark Cuban.
Oh.
Let him take over. Good. Pigs don't get slaughtered anymore when he's in charge.
Yeah, I can imagine the other owners really
wouldn't want to take a pay cut. That $45 million a year means nothing to Mark Cuban.
How about Richard Sherman?
That'd be good. How about Bill Belichick? In 4 years, just moves into office.
That'd be pretty fun.
What would you like to see in a return for Piscotty if he's moved to the A's?
Prospect.
I would like to see a young pitcher.
Yeah, that would be nice. I wouldn't mind seeing a young middle infielder, which, by the way, is what is thrown around by those over there. I think it was Slusser. Is that what
Susan
it was?
Slusser.
Was saying that one of the guys is apparently Yairo Munoz. He's ranked as the Athletics number 13 prospect. He's a shortstop. Played some third base, played some second base, got sneaky power, had a little success in the Arizona Fall League. He's not one of their highest prospects, but he's got a lot of upside. That was just one name that was thrown around by them. But you're not getting a crazy return for Piscotty.
No, his value is not good now because he's not coming off a good season, but I would not at all be shocked if he turns out to be a really nice player.
He's a great player.
Yeah, I still think that what happened with his mom and finding out about that earlier in the year, this past season, I think that's a huge deal for him. And I think having had some time to process it, even though he's still going through it and his family's still going through it, I would really expect a rebound season from him next year. But it's just that they're not dealing from a position of strength.
Not going to happen here.
Not here.
By the way, I said Tim Leiweke. Todd Leiweke is the St. Louisan that is the current chief operating officer of the NFL. His brother Tim is the former head of Anschutz Entertainment Group in L.A., and he's the chief executive officer of Oak View Group right now.
So as we near the end of the second decade of the 2000s, who would you consider to be the best quarterback of this millennium? And if it's Brady, let's hear your top three.
I would go Brady. I would still put Peyton Manning there. And I think as much as I have liked Big Ben, I would go with Aaron Rodgers.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
I'm trying to sneak somebody out to get Big Ben in.
I think it's those
Breeze?
Three.
It's not going to be Brady.
Breeze?
Did you have Breeze in yours?
I didn't.
No, I'm trying to get Big Ben in.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to kick somebody off.
Brady's a cheater. You can take him out and put in just guys with integrity.
Well. I did tell you I was trying to get Big Ben in, didn't I?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
All right.
Yeah. Peyton Manning, missed a year and then he's been out for 2 years now.
Yeah, I'll kick him off my list.
Kick Peyton Manning off the list. Yeah. That's probably not the best move, is it?
That's fine. He could be on my list from 2000 to 2010. This is 2010 on. It's fine. He
millennium. Was good in that. It's since 2000.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought we were just doing this decade.
No, you said millennium,
since
right?
2000.
Oh, since 2000.
Well, then never mind. No, Peyton Manning's definitely on there, and Ben can be on the outside looking in. He can be knocking on the door.
He'd be number four.
Of that
nothing wrong with that.
That's fine.
Allegedly.
By the way, this will be an interesting game this weekend between the Steelers and the Patriots at Pittsburgh. New England has to travel twice, went to Miami. Now they have to travel to Pittsburgh. And the Steelers are, Steelers are really vulnerable, though, because teams get big plays against them, and New England specializes in big plays. Now they have Kenny Britt.
Seafood or beef food,
yeah.
Randy. And they have Gronk back this week.
Yeah, huge.
Off of a disappointing loss. Watch out for them.
That's it?
That's it?
That was so fun.
We
had
one
more. More?
Is a serious number.
I thought we did. Yeah.
Next up in the fast lane, Tyler Chatwood signed a deal with the Cubs this week, but now the Baseball Writers Association of America has an issue with the contract. We'll tell you about it next in the fast lane on 101 ESPN. Interesting piece at ESPN.com by a friend of the show, Jesse Rogers, and it's about the new contract that Tyler Chatwood signed with the Cubs, a 3-year deal for $38 million that includes, gentlemen, this escalator clause for his 2020 salary to increase by $2 million if he received a Cy Young vote next season. His salary would increase by $4 million if he received a vote for the award next season and in 2019. So a singular Cy Young vote would net Tyler Chatwood $4 million.
That is really good, especially if Tyler Chatwood knows a singular voter. That would be very nice for him. I can see where there might be a little pushback with this one specifically. Like, guys have incentives in their contracts a lot, MVP, All-Star, stuff like that. But something that's a vote is, I feel like it's way too easy to collude on something like this.
Oh, it'd be very easy. And you know how...
Like, hey, you want to make $500,000?
Yeah.
Give me a vote. Right. That guy would lose his vote, though, if, in fact, Chatwood was, like, way off the maps or something. Okay, a collusion might be very easy to find on something like that, mm-hmm. too. But I can see where they're not liking this one. I get it.
Even if you didn't arrange this with one of the members of the media, there's always a guy or a lady who's willing to make a hometown vote.
Yeah,
there's always somebody. Right. And you go, how did this person get a vote?
And it's interesting. I see. Jed Hoyer, the GM of the Cubs, said, I really just want the system to change. He said, I didn't do this because I want to have this problem. I want to solve a problem. So his goal, Hoyer's goal in giving this ridiculous bonus is to come up with another way for players to earn bonuses. He suggests, and I didn't even realize this, postseason Major League All-Star teams like the NFL and the NBA and hockey have. That seems to make sense to me. I remember the Sporting News, when they were in business as a print publication, they used to have their postseason All-Star teams, but baseball doesn't do that anymore.
So what we're saying is All-Stars that are not voted upon by the people. We're saying ones that actually deserve it.
Hoyer's problem is that the All-Star game is only for a half season of work. Right. He wants to provide a full season's worth of work to give a bonus for.
That should be how your bonuses are done, especially if you're not going to just be in some of those individual awards, but you could be there, you know, as an all-star. I don't see any problem with that, and I think the players would actually be okay with that, too.
And we are always willing to help here in the Fast Lane. So starting in the 2018 season, we are going to have our official Fast Lane Major League Baseball postseason all-star teams for the National and American League. And we're going to provide those to Jed Hoyer so that he can give out proper bonuses to the people that deserve them.
So we're going to do that after next year?
Yes.
So this is like a long-haul project.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But that means we have to pay attention next season.
We can do that.
Is our word binding on this?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, is there a more important or impactful entity in America that could provide more knowledge for Jed Hoyer?
Than us, probably so. Not.
No, so I don't know what radio's like in Chicago. I'd assume not great.
What's our
Ron, you were there.
Yeah, it's good.
But who provides more knowledge, more impact, and more caring about the sport of baseball than this show? Anybody?
Oh,
that's a Bears town.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's anything above this program.
We're in America's best baseball city.
Oh, we're just killing it here.
And we're the big show, right?
Yeah. Yes. That being said, I do think even though his intentions are pure here, I do believe he's probably caused more trouble than he is.
Hoyer? Yeah.
Yes, than he is fixing anything.
It really is a stupid thing to put in there.
Well, it's okay to have incentives, and it's okay to have your guy believe that he can be involved in something like this, but when it's one voter, it's just too easy. It's too easy to have something go wrong. So even if he has a great year, and even if maybe a couple of voters would be in on him, it would still look suspicious. Like, it just kind of puts you up against a wall. Now, for him, you don't care, because one vote's worth $2 million. What was it, multiple votes?
Yeah, if you get a vote in each of those years, you get four. Now, here's another thing to look at. Why not just be happy with $38 million? Shouldn't you pitch well for $38 million? Shouldn't that be an expectation that you have?
You know what sounds better than 38, Randy?
What?
40. 42 sounds better than 40. There's always more money to be earned.
So the Cubs could just, if he's unhappy about this situation, then just give him $42 million.
I don't recall reading the story about where he said he was unhappy, Randy.
No, I mean Hoyer. He's unhappy about the bonus situation. We'll just guarantee him $4 million more.
Well, he was pretty sure that he wasn't going to have to give out this bonus, is what he's pretty sure about either way. I think Tyler Chatwood, though, should be pretty happy about his $38 million.
I would think so. I don't think that at this level now that you really do need to give a guy a bonus when he's making. How much is that? 12?
Well, I mean, that's something an agent does. You know, an agent is, hey, I got you this money, but I also look at all these bonuses I got you, and I got you all these perks too. I wonder what the financial benefit, if there is any, for the team to pay through a bonus as opposed to just making it part of your base salary. It's the one thing is it's not guaranteed money, but there also must be some incentive above that where if the Cubs are doing this, where it's almost, I don't want to call it automatic, but there's a pretty good bet that somebody will throw him one Cy Young vote.
Just because they know about this.
Just because they know about it. So there must be some benefit for the Cubs. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a tax thing or something else, but there's got to be something that's in it for them. Otherwise, I just don't feel like you're not just doing it just to do it.
Wait till Boris gets the first big deal for Bryant. The clauses that are in that one.
Oh, man. You're going to get all kinds of stuff. He'll have the, you get a suite on the road.
How about the probably Santa more. Claus?
Well, that's a great that. Movie.
Where it's you a really good movie.
Become Santa?
Well, yeah, if in fact he falls off of your roof, and then you have to be Santa after that. I mean, it happened.
Yeah, because
a couple times actually,
and there's always a Santa, as we know.
Yeah,
and some the way it works is, real people inherit the role of Santa Claus,
that
and they move
the
to
Claus.
The North Pole, yeah. and they learn how to drive the sleigh with the reindeer.
And you have to. You don't.
It's almost
have
like a combine.
Choice.
Yeah, it's almost like a Santa combine that you have to go through within the year. You have to pack on a lot of pounds. You have to learn all the elves, like how the process is done. Fortunately, that hasn't happened in a long, long time.
No, Santa's been around for a while.
Sure
BT.
Has.
You rarely have to shave. What would happen if you had to shave 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day because your beard was growing so fast?
All I have to do is just like kind of barely shave my little mustache area like daily, like one little swipe. I don't know. I don't know what would happen. I would have to buy products probably. Actually, I would let it grow out. I wouldn't even worry about that. I would go full on Grizzly Adams beard.
Santa does that.
I was under the assumption that if you were charged with this, like you can't just keep shaving your beard. You have to let it grow out because
Tim Allen
you
tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you
had
see, so eventually
Santa
you
tried.
Have to
well,
be.
That's what I'm saying. But well, he was Tim Allen. Well, I forget his name actually in the film, but he was a regular human that tried to do that. He didn't know he was turning into Santa Claus at the time.
Wasn't it almost like being imprisoned where he, you know, you have to do it. You don't have a choice. You got to be Santa.
Kind of. Well, it started out that way, and then you realize what a gift it was, you know?
Right.
To
prison's not
to...
a gift.
No, not prison.
Yeah.
But being Santa would
and
be one heck of a gift.
Evidently,
make people happy.
The way that thing works is even if you try Slim 180, you cannot lose weight.
No, correct. He tried everything. He was like, hey, Randy kept saying it was going to be great. By the way, Scott Calvin. Scott Calvin
no,
was
there
his
you
name
go.
In
Thank
the film.
You.
And Scott, I mean, he tried hard.
And now he's Santa.
Yeah.
Pretty
so
cool.
So if you see him... Say, hey, Scott.
Yeah. So that's how you get bonuses, is by going to Santa.
Right.
Yep.
So I don't know how we got there. Oh, it's the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That's in the contract also.
Yep. It is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up next as we roll on, let me find the spot where we are. There we are. There are a few things that you aren't allowed to do on an airplane. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
And apparently, biting other passengers is one of them. That's next before the Fast Lane fill in on 101 ESPN.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.